back with Sam Basu and Michael Crump. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Last time you were on, we talked about App Builder, which I mistakenly called App Studio, which, by the way, is a Microsoft product.
Hey, we like App Studio. We've done some stuff with App Studio.
It is a cool thing. I did a show on that one time, too. But you can see how names get jumbled up. But so you've simplified the names of your products by just calling everything the Telerik platform, right?
Mm-hmm. Telerik platform.
And is that a new term? I don't remember hearing that before, just recently.
Sort of new. Started
this year. What do you define a Telerik platform?
Let me start.
Is it everything you do, or is it just a piece of what the Telerik does?
It's a piece of what we do. Okay. But our main customer has always been the developer.
Right.
And that's the one we are trying to empower the most, and the enterprise and everybody else would follow. So we saw a trend where a lot of mobile developers were very enthusiastic to build stuff, but we had some pain points. We had a multitude of platforms that we want to support. There are the BlackBerries and the Tizens and so on, but primarily let's agree that there are three right now: iOS, Android, and Windows Phone.
Okay.
If you are an indie developer, you really want to target all platforms, because if you miss out, you're missing out on a good chunk of customer base, especially if it's iOS and Android. So we want to empower developers to be able to target all platforms, all three platforms, very, very easily from a single tool, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to give you the flexibility of staying in the IDE, the integrated development environment of your choice, right? So that's where the Telerik platform kind of comes in. And it's also targeted for enterprises, because enterprises want to buy one thing that they can develop their app end-to-end, including testing, prototyping, management, and so on.
Sure. You sound like a Visual Studio team.
We're trying to get there.
Their goals are similar to that.
Sure. Yeah.
So multiple pieces to basically help you along the way.
Mm-hmm. So let me break down what the platform is, because what it is just very simple end-to-end mobile. We have tried to think about all of the things that a mobile developer would need to do from the time when he conceptualizes an app all the way up to the store and subsequent maintenance and updates and so on. So what's the first thing that you do when you create a new app? You want to visualize how your app wants to look like. So you kind of prototype your app.
Yeah, maybe a wireframe.
Wireframes, multiple screens, and how does the navigation work between screens. What's the next thing you do? You actually go ahead and develop your app using whichever platform that you're building for, either native or hybrid and so on. The next thing is you want to test your app, make sure it's working right for all your users, make sure all of your test cases, all of your edge cases are working. And you want to slowly build up a battery of test suites so that as you release more and more updates of your app, you're not breaking things, mm-hmm. right? So the next thing is you have your app out in the store, which is a very happy thing to do, and you are starting to grow a user base. You want to have feedback from your users to make sure your app is behaving the way you had envisioned, and you don't want essentially a negative review all the time. You want to have an open communication channel with your users.
Right.
Also, enterprises might want to have like a private store, because not every line of business app needs to go into the Apple or the Microsoft or Google stores. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about like private deployment and management of apps. And also you want to kind of understand how users are actually using your application. How much time do they spend on one screen? Are they clicking on this button or not at all? Is this feature being used at all? It kind of gives you an indication of what's your next phase, what's your next application lifecycle going to build. So that's where analytics come into play. So we have already talked about like four or five different phases of a mobile application lifecycle, and we are trying to have one tool which lets you do all of it.
Okay.
Right? So that's where the Telerik platform comes in.
And the Telerik platform has a piece of it that solves each one of those.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. So for the prototyping piece, we got something called the Telerik Prototyper, which helps you prototype iOS, Android, and Windows applications. Then the big elephant is the App Builder, which is where you actually do your grunt work, you develop your app, and put it out across all the stores.
All right, I'll refer people to the other show which you just recorded recently.
Exactly.
That
one's more details.
Exactly. Then there is an app feedback product, which lets you collect feedback. There is a mobile testing product, which lets you test your apps. There is an app manager, which lets you privately deploy your apps and manage your users and so on. So
backend services and analytics.
Exactly.
Are these products sold as a suite? Are they sold separately, or what do you? How do they work as far as?
They're all bundled together. They're all part of the Telerik platform. Mm-hmm. So once you have the Telerik platform, we don't force you to put our analytics in or use our back-end services. Maybe you want to use Azure. That's totally fine.
Right.
You can pick and choose which pieces that you want. So it's you get access to all of these different tools, mm-hmm. and whatever makes sense for your organization, that's what you bring in. That's what you use.
Okay. But I mean, at the same time, you don't have to get the entire platform if that's not something you want to use. Maybe you just want to use the prototyping tool. Maybe okay. you just want the back-end services. You can just get that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about each tool individually. The sure. prototyping tool, what does that do? What does that look like?
Do you want me to go?
The prototyping tool is something that you can access when you go inside of the Telerik platform. And you can basically just prototype out your application.
Well, so what do you say when you go inside the Telerik platform? What does that mean?
Yeah, so when you go to platform.telerik.com, okay. there's an option there, and you can select New Project.
Okay.
And from the drop-down menu, you can select Prototyper, App Prototyper. And when you select App Prototyper, it's going to bring you up a brand new GUI that's going to allow you to start maybe selecting an iPhone 5 screen. And you can start dragging and dropping different components onto the screen, tab strips, for example, input boxes and things of that nature, buttons or whatever. And after you do that, you can add multiple screens, and you can actually, once you're completed with that, you can share that out to somebody and let them look at it, and they can make comments on the app, and they can say, oh, you know, actually, this button needs to go over here, or this button needs to go over here.
Okay, so they'll also do that inside of their browser?
Yes, they can do that inside their browser.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and
is that typical of all these tools? They all exist inside this browser at that URL you mentioned?
All of the tools, you can access it now. They each are going to have different types of APIs, obviously. So, like, when we get into back-end services, it's .NET-based. But you do have an option to go in and look at the data mm-hmm. and things like that from the Telerik platform website.
So, let me back up maybe. So, we have one portal, right, platform.telerik.com, which gives you access to everything.
Yes.
Now, if you got everything, you'll see everything. If you just buy one thing, you'll just see that other thing. But it is your global one platform where you go and get all of your stuff, then you see your data come alive. And to the prototyping thing that he was mentioning, what's really exciting is you can actually make the prototypes interactive. So I can create a button on my phone screen and say, when you click on this, you go to the second screen.
Right.
And I can actually make any part of that screen clickable. So when I'm done creating my prototype, I can just go into a preview mode, hand my phone to you or send you a link, and you can actually go to that link on your iPhone or your Windows phone, and it'll look like a working app. Which I will actually warn you from past experience, when you show that to like enterprise managers who are actually managing your
project, they think you're 90% done.
They think you're done.
Done.
So be careful, because you're
not
really
done. So let me ask
you
this. If I create a prototype using this tool, is that a starting point for my actual application, or do I now recreate it?
That's where we're actually both excited about it. That's where you can actually export that project out, and you can bring that into an actual app builder application.
Okay, so there at least your UI is close to
exactly. So we'll bring in all of your screens.
You have to educate your users that the business logic hasn't been implemented.
Right, exactly. It's just a shell. You can just click around for now. But once you're done, to your point, it can be your starting point.
Okay.
So you export all of your prototypes to say, give me an app which has this as a skeleton. So we'll create all the screens that you have had in your prototype. Okay. We'll try to bring in the controls that you had put, like a tab strip or a button and so on. And we'll give you a shell of like a little model view model type. We'll give you a view model for each one, a view for each of your screens and so on. So it's a great starting point for you to actually build your hybrid app.
All right, and then, like I said, we'll skip the app builder part. Let's cover that in another show. And after that, what do we have?
Back-end services.
Back-end services. This is, when I think of back-end services, being working for Microsoft, I think of Azure Mobile Services. Is it similar to that?
Yeah, so let me speak to that. So it is similar, but it's not an apple-to-apple comparison at all. It's not meant to compete with Amazon or Azure, but that's not who we are. I mean, you guys and Microsoft and Amazon and Heroku and Rackspace, they do the cloud thing best. We piggyback off some of the cloud services. What we're trying to offer you is a nicer UI, nicer services that complement you at the mobile developer. Mm-hmm. But the other thing we do is, like, we have other products. We have Sitefinity for our CMS. We have Kendo UI for modern web. We have all of our native controls. It's drop-dead easy to actually utilize Telerik backend services from any of the products. So it's integration that we are really after.
Okay.
But to the average mobile developer, it actually looks just like Azure Mobile Services.
Okay.
It has some pieces which are absolutely similar. It's just a backend RESTful hooks to your data.
Okay.
But at the same time, we do a few things slightly differently, like our file management, the way you store blob storage is a little different. Mm-hmm. We have a nice email flow for your new users. We can send off push notifications cross-platform really easily.
Mm-hmm. User authentication is a very big important piece of it as well, security and things like that. We handle things that's pain points usually for our developers, like OAuth authentication, things like that. You have Facebook integration, Windows Live integration that's built in, and
Google and Twitter.
Google and all of that.
Okay.
So I guess the next one would probably be analytics.
Yeah.
Analytics is extremely important for a mobile app. So when I first started building mobile apps, you really don't know, if you don't have some sort of instrumentation kind of going on, what the user actually cares about. So you've got feature X, Y, and Z. Okay, you've developed and put a lot of time in, you know, feature X. Well, they actually want Z. So with analytics, you can actually track maybe how many times they clicked that button.
I see.
So you can see that they clicked it maybe 5 times, and you thought it was totally cool because you were a developer, but the end user didn't think it was that same way.
Or they couldn't find it.
Exactly. And so start making adjustments to make it either more visible for them to find it, or go ahead and start enhancing that feature that maybe 100 or so people have clicked on in the last 5 or 6 minutes. But it's more than that. Also exception handling. If there are stack trace problems and things of that nature, you will get access to that, and you can see where the error occurred at. And you can see that, and you can fix the problem and release your new version of your application before the bug reports start flying in like crazy.
So these are services that run locally on the device, and they sort of phone home to say, to update a database somewhere, a central database that says, these are the features that the user are using, these are the bugs that have occurred.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay. Right. They will phone home.
And it's extremely easy to add instrumentation to your apps. It's just like one line of code with an API key, and then it knows how to phone home and let the developer know, here's the usage. And you can have multiple things, like you can see on a behavior basis how are people using your app, which features are being clicked, and so on. And you get a detailed reporting services once you head back up to the platform portal. You get a detailed drill down of exactly what's going on inside of your app.
And one thing that mobile developers leave out all the time is localization of their app. And this provides an actual graph. And the graph will show the world. And you can see, I've got
what countries, what
which countries and what languages. And so if I notice, for example, hey, somebody is, using my app and I need to localize it for their language, I can go ahead and put that as a higher priority. And go ahead and implement that in the app, put that in my vNext application, because I know where my users are at. And before it's kind of the, where are my users living at?
You just guess, or you just try to cover everybody, which is a lot of countries in this world.
Yeah, exactly, because most mobile developers, if they're building an app, especially in the U.S., it's like, okay, well, English,
we'll start with English, but what's the next language? Used in the Spanish-speaking world, that's a good territory. Candidate for the next language and the next culture. And I think you mentioned the deployment as well as one of the things, right?
Sure, let me talk about that. So it's a tool we call the App Manager. So what you do is, once you're done creating your application, hopefully cross-platform for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, you are ready to deploy it and put it in the hands. Maybe you're not quite ready to go to production, maybe you just want some trial users. Or maybe if you're an enterprise, you actually do not want to go all out to the store, you want to have your own private store. So what we can do is we allow you to define apps inside of the platform. And again, you don't have to build your apps inside of the platform. You can build your own iOS, Android, or Windows Phone apps externally through native apps and then bring them into the platform.
Sure.
You give us the app packages and you say how you want to distribute. So you host all of the app packages with us, and then we let you add users and user groups. So I can say, here's an app that's only meant for the salespeople in my company. Only these guys have access to it. So I can control the users, I can see how many devices they are having, and only let them have access to the app. So it's like a list of checkboxes that you can check, and that controls the scope and the permissions that people have. And this boils down into the other part of it is people can give you feedback once they're using the app. Mm-hmm. And how does an internal sales guy at your company get access to your app in the first place? Because it's not in the app store. So we give you a curated app store privately for your use. Mm-hmm. So we'll let you host your apps, which nobody else can see, but only people who are inside of the enterprise. And you get to publish app updates. For the user, there are a couple of apps. We give you companion apps, which will actually show you the market catalog, like your own private store. So you can see all the apps. You can see the screenshots and the descriptions. You can install the apps from the store, uninstall from the store, and so on. But it's just not the public store. It's all managed internally.
So this private store, is this a, is there one, if I publish on three different platforms, do I get three different private stores? Or
no, it's one private store, except the iOS guys are going to see the iOS apps. If it's an iOS app, I mean, if it's an iOS native app, it's not going to be visible to a Windows Phone guy.
Okay.
So it's platform-based, but it's one store for you.
Okay, and it sits on a server somewhere, on a web server?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the platform.
And kind of one step before that was the app feedback. So
yeah.
That's another part of it that is extremely important.
This is more just analytics. This is somebody deliberately saying, I like it, or I don't like it, or I want this feature, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so we've kind of moved it kind of to the next step. Mm-hmm. So with app feedback, I examined a lot of, especially Apple, the people that won some of the Apple Design Awards last 2013, how they were actually implementing feedback. And believe it or not, a lot of companies went the really easy way out by just using email. So they popped up an email, and then they pop in maybe, you know, the OS version the person's using, maybe a little bit more details that they can grab from the device hardware, and they send an email. That was what I saw a lot of companies doing. And then I saw other companies that would have like a web form that they would integrate inside of their app, and they would get specifically what they wanted, and then they would submit that to their own server somewhere. Other people were using native controls and kind of building it out step by step by step.
Okay.
But what we decided to do to make things a little bit easier is really with just a couple of lines of code, you can implement our app feedback, and they can either, this will either be ran by a method that they could call, or they can actually shape their device to bring up the feedback option. And from the feedback option,
they can shape the device?
Yeah, they can shape the device.
Right.
And so from there, or it can just be called, but you could just have a button or something named
feedback. It doesn't pop up to say something feedback.
Exactly. Okay. And so from there, you can do things, such as, maybe supply your name. You can touch on the screen where there is, in iOS, for example, in some of the native iOS stuff, you can touch on the screen and you can say, hey, I've got a problem with this. For example, the slider is not working. And so what happens from there is you do that, and then you make it a comment and you submit it. It goes to our backend services. And from there, the developer actually gets the notification that, hey, somebody has left feedback on the app. So they can have that interaction. The developer can respond and say, oh, I see that's a bug. Let me go and fix it. Right. And he can respond, and then the user will go back to their application, and they'll see that. Now, the whole time, the developer's got a screenshot, they have device information, and they have the user.
Hmm.
And all of this information is pulled directly from the phone. And, and if you see trends of a lot of people having that, it just really makes feedback a lot easier to get.
Yeah, and what I love about it is, I mean, all three of us make apps, and I'm sure we have come across this where someone will just give a negative review in the store because they're missing a feature or there's a little bug. I mean, we don't want a negative review. We just want that.
We still want that feedback.
Exactly. We want the user's voice.
Right.
So this is like an open communication channel between the developer and the user to say, tell us what you're seeing, with all the information kind of automatically collected so that the developer can make sense of what exactly you're going through.
Yeah. I've seen some apps that had, do you like this app?
Mm-hmm.
And if you like it, it takes you to the official review site. If you don't like it, it takes you to something like this where
yeah.
feedback comes directly to me. Which I'm not sure about the ethics of that, but I have seen people do that.
And people hook up like user voice to their apps, which is a good idea. But this is like, again, exactly. This is just one portal where you can get all of that communication in one place.
And Yahoo News Digest, they won the 2013 Apple Design Award, and they use user voice for their feedback if you go into their application. And I just found that I was just amazed when I saw that because I thought that they would do maybe something a little differently. But that's just what a lot of companies have been doing. So the last piece is testing?
Yeah.
Mobile testing?
Always the last piece, testing.
Well, it's a little different from just unit testing, which is obviously highly recommended for any app development. But it's more about feature testing on your apps as you're deploying them
and stuff.
Right. And then, to make sure, first up, make sure you do your testing before you actually release your app to the store. But even moving forward, like as you're releasing updates, make sure you don't break anything. So we highly encourage developers, and we try to dog food this ourselves, is to start creating test cases as you're making your app, and then have them run automated as you're making app updates. And the way we conceptualized doing mobile testing is, again, not have you learn something new, but just as long as you know JavaScript, or as long as you can handle a little GUI that kind of builds your test case on the fly with a visual interface, you're good to go. JavaScript obviously gives you more power, and this is a battery of test suites that you can run on hybrid applications, as well as all the native applications, including iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. So again, we give you companion apps, which will deploy some of these tests and run those tests as you're playing with the app. It will collect all of your test cases and tell you which ones passed and which ones failed.
So, and the only requirement is Node.js for testing.
We have to have Node.js installed
locally
on your machine, on your developer machine.
Okay.
All right. Anything else we haven't talked about? Should?
Wow.
Yeah, that's
a lot.
There's a lot. As you can see, we are hitting like 6 or 7 core pieces for any mobile developer, enterprise or indie, to be successful. And yes, you can plug and play. You can go to different tools and different places to do your thing, but it's nice to have one place where you can do all of it. And this is it's more of a comfort level for maybe lots of enterprises, because something we have seen is that, especially in the JavaScript world, you are using frameworks and libraries every day, something new comes up, and it makes for a jittery code base because you're having to maintain so many different things, you're dependent on so many different components, while this is really one platform where you can do end-to-end mobile, and not have to go anywhere else.
Are these tools, they sold as a license, or are they more of a subscription model?
So it's a subscription-based model. So once you subscribe, obviously you have access to the tools. And one thing just to throw in there is that while we cover, we've covered almost everything here, I've looked at seeing some of the roadmap and things to come, and it is getting even way cooler.
Anything you can share with us? What's cool coming?
There is native script support coming, which is writing native mobile apps in JavaScript. Okay. So you write JavaScript and it runs as native apps on every device. And to the question of pricing, let me make a point, because a lot of your viewers are Microsoft MVPs. Everybody who's an MVP gets full access to the platform, like enterprise level access. And it is a subscription model, but it is nicely designed so you can maybe play with it until you're comfortable using it. And it's on a per month basis if that's what you'd like. So if you know that you're going to be on vacation 1 month, turn it off and then turn it back on when you're ready to work.
Yeah, there's various modes available for whatever level that you're going to be at. You may be at the hobbyist level, or you may be at the enterprise level. But whatever level that it is, we've got you taken care of.
Excellent. Guys, thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Enjoy this conference.
Hello, this is Sam. I love technology. I'm a geek, but at the same time, I love my friends because I love hanging out with friends like Dave Giard at conferences like DevLink. So come see us at the next conference.